But we have to see that a principle really be placed into action. Immigrants who speak out should be protected. They should not be targets for enforcement. If they are in detention and they are protesting the conditions of detention, they absolutely should be released. It's important for the entire American public to know what's really happening in our immigration system. And if immigrants can be silenced for speaking out about their experiences, that will never happen. So this is really important not only for immigrant communities, but for our entire country and for really protecting the values of our democracy.
Well, Jean, congratulations. Welcome home. Jean Montreville, Haitian immigrant and activist, and Alina Das, Jean's lawyer and co-director of the Immigrant Rights Clinic at NYU School of Law. That does it for our show. Special thanks to Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Gesner, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Naduris, and Malkoff Tamaria Studio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
You're listening to
KBOO Community Radio Portland. Holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that, too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
Good morning, good morning. You are listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland. 90.7 here in the metropolitan area. If you're out east along the Columbia River Gorge, 91.9, 104.3 FM in the Willamette River Valley, point south. And if you're traveling far flung and wide, well, you know KBOO.fm very well. And I want to hit this off the top so I don't forget to mention it, that we are in the midst of our end of the year campaign. And I know some people are thinking, well, didn't you just have a membership drive? Yes, we did. We did. End of year campaign is slightly different. This is when we know that many of our benefactors out there are making that last year tax deductible donation to nonprofits and charities that they care about, that they see getting work done, that they support. And they support it not only by word of mouth and attitude of spirit, but financially. So you can go to kboo.fm/give and donate and help us reach our $45,000 goal. You can also do this by texting the letters KBOO to the numbers 44321. And your dollars will be matched by a generous donation from the Ronnie LaCrue Foundation. So we want to thank you in advance as you do this. And then also tell you, don't forget to stop by our store, see our merchandise. Every t-shirt we offered for 2020, 2021 is available for you to pick up. Get those last minute KBOO gifts and rep your pride in KBOO FM. There. This is More Talk Radio, and I'm flying solo today. My cohort in conversation and buddy, Cecil, is taking much-deserved break. He's headed home to visit family. And you know, that's a wonderful thing given the circumstances that we're talking about. I mean, you heard a lot of it just now on Democracy Now! And statements of geopolitical unrest and economic uncertainty and even difficult communications. And of course, you know, that's something that we all think about and are concerned about for the holidays, because nothing like going home and having to speak to your family and trying to figure out where you don't want to land conversationally. You know, what topics are off off the table. But I got something a little whimsical today, and I thought we would discuss this. And it falls squarely in the avenues here of More Talk Radio. And I've been following this because you've heard me talk about how we are definitely in the matrix, and we need to accept that life is moving on with or without us, and it's choosing to put us in different spheres of experience. And when we are in these different spheres of experience, it sometimes makes talking and communicating a little more difficult. But human beings being what they are, you know, we're going to talk about everything, even if we're talking about something we don't really know much about. We just like to talk. We like to communicate. Sometimes we even like to listen. So think about our desire to connect and communicate, and think about what it would be like if we really had a full spectrum communication in this environment we live in right now. Okay, Celeste, you sounded good up to there. What do you mean? Well, something I've been following lately, and it has me like thoroughly fascinated, because I wonder what would we do with all of this when we get it, is the fact that not only are we creating artificial intelligence and robots to talk to, we are even thinking in terms of creating them with the emotive capabilities of human beings. They have faces that express emotion, thoughts, fear, anger, other needs, and they are being made so with the thought that they will be more approachable, people will find them more lifelike, and that these beings can be used, and I use the word beings lightly, can be used as possible counselors, therapists, etc. And I don't know how many people were able to see this CNN business article, and it was about watching a humanoid robot wake up in quotations. And the robot's name is Amica, A-M-E-C-A. And if you're anywhere close to a computer or whatever, you can look up and watch this robot wake up. And you can hear Ayanna Howard, the dean of the College of Engineering at Ohio State University, tells that people can benefit from these. And so that's one aspect of communication and talking that I'm sitting here on the table. Now, I want to juxtapose it with the fact that it's not just robots we're trying to talk to and hear from, but more importantly, we're trying to talk to and communicate with our domestic pets and companions. Okay, Celeste, you were doing fine, and now you've lost me. What do you mean? Well, how many of you have kept up with this project where people, and I can't remember the woman's first name. It'll come to me here in a moment. I'll look it up too in my notes. But her last name is Hunger. And she taught her dog how to speak. No, not speak like Roof, but speak via these communication devices, okay? And so the dog not only can tell, you know, his owner, I want this, I want that, let me out, food, water, whatever, I love you. It's now starting to discuss deeper existential issues and incidents and events in its life. Okay, well, we're not really surprised. People are trying to teach their dogs to articulate anyway. How many videos and stories have you seen of animals saying, I love you? And I remember years ago, my mom had told us that, and we thought she was joking until I happened to be in a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum, and I saw the video and I saw the show, and I owed my mom a posthumous apology. He was like, ooh, you were right. But it's even deeper than that. You know, we've heard about horses that can count and communicate. You know, people have had animals on various shows doing tricks and showing that they could communicate. Just recently, a bird was floating around in Oregon and exciting the kids, except that it had a lot of profanity in its repertoire. But we're taking it even deeper. We're not just talking to great apes. We're not just talking to dogs or horses anymore. We're also got the cats out here. So there's a cat also that's been taught to use these communication buttons. And I find it really interesting, especially when you juxtapose it with the fact that we've got artificial life that we're trying to talk to, and then the fact that we have difficulty talking to each other. And we really want to communicate. We sometimes just don't listen, or we don't pay attention to the barriers we throw up. And I guess my even deeper thing is, I'll take you back to a book that came out in the 70s called The Secret Life of Plants. And they found out that plants are sentient, and they communicate, and they communicate with each other. And there's a movie out about the mother tree. And if you're in any specific, or any particular, not specific, but particular grove of trees, you'll find out that there is a matriarch of that area. And they all communicate. They communicate via the root system, various movings, and the way they try to protect saplings and what have you with growth, symbiosis with other plant species. And it's an interesting treatise, I guess, to the fact that everything does talk. It's just, can we listen? Will we listen? What can we learn? So I thought, you know, since this is the last show for about 3 weeks or so, that I would ask you, how does that affect you? What are your thoughts about the fact that we are seeking robots to talk to, and we want them to be emotive? And we can't say that they're being foisted upon us, because the fact is, people are asking for this kind of artificial intelligence, human interaction. And then we're talking to our animals. And as I mentioned earlier, the dogs are showing that they have a very rich interior life. And we're hearing about this. What does that mean for our life? Will we actually communicate with the animals? Will we listen to what they say? You know, that's one of the other challenges. Will we listen? And if they give us advice, will we follow it? We don't get along that well with each other. So we'll just start out the show, you know, that way. I hope you will talk to me. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And this whole idea here on More Talk Radio today is, everything is talking and we're trying to listen, but what is the point of it all? Is it a exercise in vanity? Or is it an exercise in really trying to deepen our connection with the world we live in? Phone number again, 503-231-8187. Now, I want to get into some of the other articles that I read. So first, let me tell you a little bit about the organization that's helping people talk to their pets. And you may have heard about it. It is called theycantalk.org. And theycantalk is one word, .org. And it teaches you how to talk with augmentative and alternative communication devices. Now, these are very popular for people who maybe have some speech issues. They're not usually the kind that's used for people who have had strokes or any kind of incident that limits their movement because it requires pushing of buttons. But if you have mobility, they were used with people who, like I said, it might have had some speech issues. To find out that they work on pets is really fascinating because, you know, we have an advantage with the great apes. Great apes, the primates, they have hands. They can learn sign language. And many of you may remember the apes that had learned to use sign language and communicated a desire to have pets or friends and paint and what have you. But this is taking it even further and even deeper. So before I go to my first caller, Calista, I'll give you the phone number again, 503-231-8187. And good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. Despite the overcast, you know, sometimes I like cloudy days.
Yeah. I'm still waking up, but I put on the radio sometimes in the morning when I'm making coffee, and I was just listening in to the discussion about communication and life and all that.
And so what were your thoughts?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about mushrooms lately. Sorry, I'm getting some feedback on my phone, but
if your radio's on, turn that down. That might help.
Oh, it's down.
Okay.
Sorry, the sound of my own voice always weirds me out. We were talking about like artificial intelligence earlier. Like the robotic echo of my own voice is really eerie. mushrooms. They talk to each other through their like root system, which is like trees.
Yes.
Called mycelium.
That's right. Yeah.
And that system connects like every point on the surface of the earth. And so, like, everyone is connected. All the life on Earth is connected because they all have experience with the mycelium.
That is true. I mean, the research is still going on with how mushrooms and other plants connect and communicate with each other, and that mycelial network is one of the means by which trees and other plant species talk to each other, not just in the forest, but in urban areas. So, you know, you're right. So many parts of the world, there's this communication going on. We're just not privy to it sometimes. It's really interesting also, and I don't know how many people have considered this, but the fact that all of these plants are talking means that we have to reconsider our whole idea of how important sentience is to us in everything we do, whether it's what we eat, you know, what we wear, how we travel through the world. And unfortunately, people are going to assign some type of value system to life that is going to make it problematic because some people are going to have a different value, say, for their lawn than they do for their bird or their cat or their dog. And they may forget that their lawn is also sentient. But you know, that's one reason why we talk about it.
That's the thing about value systems, is that they're built by people, and so they can be dismantled by people.
Yes, they can.
And we can take what we are learning from the mycelium into our lives. Like, it's actually teaching us things about how to connect with each other.
Yes, yes, yes. So what is one of the things that you have learned from this connection, you know, and being able to communicate with folks and
that
life around you?
Alone.
Ooh, I like that. So when you say never alone, that's profound, because a lot of human beings, we're pushed to communicate so much because we feel alone, because we feel alone in our thought process and in our emotional connections. So we try very hard to communicate, and sometimes we act out and act maliciously because we aren't connected. I mean, you want to build a sociopath or a psychopath? Cut off communication and emotion.
Exactly. Yeah, and when those cut off people find each other, they can become very dangerous.
Absolutely.
And I think restoring people's connections to each other is a way to, put everybody a little less on edge, you know?
It would. I was listening to the news today, and this might seem like a little bit of a stretch to communication, but bear with me for a second.
Okay.
Amy Goodman and somebody else, another legislator, elected person, were talking about Manchin pulling out from, you know, supporting this bill, this infrastructure bill, and citing that he can't explain it to his people. Now, I'm thinking to myself, how could you not? How could you not explain it? You know, if you were being honest, you know, if you were being honest, mm-hmm. you would say, "Hey, look, people, we're last in a whole lot of indicators of well-being. We're not doing well." And so, you know, he's either lying to the people, or they're allowing themselves to be duped, or they're desperate and they don't understand. But imagine a world where there's no ability to be duplicitous, that you can't lie because everything tells on you.
well, that's the thing, right? Is that, like, he's being honest within his value system. His value system is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's to himself, like, nobody really lies willingly, because they're just telling the wrong truth, you know?
There's only one truth. That's the problem. We have all these alternatives. But, you know, the truth is what is the foundation of the experience that we're all living in. And so for him to be saying, oh, no, we're not the last in the state in some indicators, and it's okay for me to have a lot of money, but for you all to be suffering inflation, and I turn my blind eye to it, that's dishonesty. And some people do lie intentionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just do, for personal gain.
Well, I think that the error that those people make, like what the error in judgment that they make, is they believe that God is a perfectionist. But God is not a perfectionist. God is a matchmaker. Like, where the connection is what drives life, not, you know, suffering.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting concept. So I'm going to throw that out there for people to add to the conversation. And thank you so much for your call this morning. And I'm gonna like, in an abstract fashion, share some of that coffee with you.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome to it.
All righty. Take care. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland. I'm Celeste. I'm flying solo today, but we're still talking here on More Talk Radio. And what we're talking about is this whole idea of communication, and how we seek to communicate not only with artificial intelligence and teaching it how to be emotive and responsive to human communication dynamics, but and protocols, I guess I would say. You know, by protocols, I mean like one of the reasons they made the this particular robot, Amika, so emotive is because the human face communicates non-verbally a lot. As they say, it has a broad bandwidth of communication. You know, you may smile at a person with your mouth and your eyes say something different. So, you know, you're giving off two different statements right there. And so they built this robot so that it could connect with people. People could connect with it via that nonverbal communication dynamic. Okay, that's one aspect of what we're talking about. The other one is the fact that we're also trying to find ways to communicate with our pets, our domestic pets, specifically in this case, cats and dogs. And that's been something that they've been experimenting with through the augmented and alternative communication devices, more commonly known as little push button and speak. And cats and dogs are learning to communicate with people and share their interior thoughts and lives and desires and wants. And many pet people will back me up on this. I've had people tell me, well, animals can't think. They don't think. They don't think. And we are finding out that animals and plants are quite sentient, and they do communicate. And they, some of them, as far as we're able to determine, think. Now, I know that some of the lesser animals, because I took my science, we don't know if amoebas and other wood cells think. I'm not saying that the garden snail thinks, but I'm just saying we don't know. We can cogitate all we want about whether they cogitate, but the fact is we're still trying to communicate. So give me a call. Thank you, Brian, for holding. And how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm enjoying the day.
Good, yeah. I was kind of going back a little ways, I think, from the last thing you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to pass along, I'm reading a book right now. My wife just loved this book, and I'm reading it now, called The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wohlleben, I think. And it's got incredible things. In it about the communication of trees and their interior life, sort
mm-hmm.
of. And, you know, it makes me think about the AI. My feeling about AI is I heard an interview with some leading scientists in it some time ago, and I wish I could remember when it was. But it was really the person asking the questions could not really get an answer why they're doing it. It obviously, it's fascinating technology. And it just seems to me another example of, you know, should it be done? Maybe not. Can it be done? Apparently so. But I just don't think they're getting deeper and asking, should we be doing this? You know, and we look on the planet and we're seeing this research into trees, you know, these ancient cultures, really, that have this intelligence that's basically untapped. And yet we're just making new versions of ourselves. And the thing about AI that scares me
is
identification technology.
Yes.
That they found is so prone to the biases of the programmer.
Yes.
And we're just going to magnify what we're already doing wrong when we could learn from the intelligence that's already on the planet and the fungal networks, the trees, the way they talk. One of the things I wanted to pass along at the beginning of this book is this man that wrote the book is a forester in Germany, and he comes from...
I've seen the movie where he's in, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have
yes.
to find out about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he comes from a pretty traditional forestry background,
yes.
And he was put in charge of this forest in Germany, and there was this one area that had these stones that he was near often, but he didn't really think about them until one day he started kind of looking at them and realizing that they're kind of an interesting shape and color. So he went down to kind of scrape the stones, and when he scraped it with his knife, he realized there was green underneath. It wasn't a stone. It was wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a circle of wood, and what it is an ancient tree that has been cut down or fell down so long ago that's still alive. And the way it's still alive, it's being it obviously was the mother tree, and it's still being supported by the fungal network and the roots of the trees around it. Basically, you know, it's basically love keeping it alive from the rest of the forest. And it's just, you know, just amazing to me what we could learn from the intelligence that's already here that we just don't have the ability to communicate with yet, because we're the ones lacking.
There it is. You hit it right there. You know, I can't remember what this movie is about. And it was about, I think, friendship among trees or something like mm-hmm. that. I can't mm-hmm. remember. But that's where I was introduced to Peter Wooten, as you mentioned. And the interesting thing about this forest is this is the last... This is the remnant of what used to be a large forest in Germany. And, you know, the country is urbanized a lot, and this is a protected area. And so, you know, he has learned a lot about taking care of it. These stumps and rocks and trees and rotted wood, they take care of the other plant species sometimes in the area, because they become a habitat for mushrooms and other things, ferns and what have you. And they all talk, and it's so fascinating. But I'm going to check out this book, The Hidden Life of Trees.
Yeah, also the research by, I think it's Susan Sumard, a scientist, the professor in British Columbia who studied in Oregon.
Yes.
Some of the research that she's been finding about, especially the mycelium and the connection and how communication is sent between trees, how there's that symbiotic relationship between the trees and the mycelium and the fungal network. It's just fascinating stuff. It's amazing.
Well, you know, before you go, two things. You might like this book I mentioned. I'm trying to remember when I first saw the book, because I saw it before I realized this is what the soundtrack that Stevie Wonder wrote about, The Secret Life of Plants.
Uh-huh.
And so I read that decades ago, and it's an early study of plant communication. And the movie is interesting. It's much earlier, and so not as developed as The Hidden Life of Trees. But, you know, reading the book, seeing the movie, listening to Stevie Wonder's masterpiece again, I think will broaden our appreciation for the fact that we are literally awash in communication and song. And as human beings, we don't get it. You know, everything else on the planet gets it but us.
Yeah, and we want to make more of our ignorance. Isn't that great?
Isn't that great? And you know, let's hope that any form of AI that we will create and will outpace us, you know, in terms of intellect, that we will some kind of way evoke some mercy in it.
Yeah.
And it'll take pity on us.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to go to a lot of counseling to let go of all the baggage that we've implanted at the beginning.
Oh gosh, that, you know, that's, I'm sitting here with a cartoon in my head right now of a robot with an emotive face talking to a TV monitor with a robot like Max Headroom on it, talking about, yes, I understand. That's scary. Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah, all right. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And it's a good time to call. You know, lines are open. I know this is not a heavy, hard-hitting topic, but yes, it is. You know, soft science is still real. It, you know, everything doesn't have to be hard science. And I want you to put a pin in hard science, because I'm going to come back and touch that in a moment. But right now, I want to thank those donors who have connected with KBOO and supported us financially. And you can do so, too. I want to thank Regina H. and Ed G., for their donation, and appreciation goes out to you. you can help us reach this end of the year goal. We're trying to reach $45,000, and we can do this if you pitch in. Now, how much should you give? Well, I suggest that you start with an hour of your, you know, your pay. So if you make, say, $15 an hour, $12 an hour, $1,500 an hour, you know, support us. Give us of your cachet of cash that you use to do community activities. Your money is like a proxy for you, you know? It goes out like a seed, and it does the things that if you had clones of yourself, you would do. You can support us financially by going to kboo.fm/give, or you can text the letters KBOO to 44321 and make your pledge now. Thank you so much for doing so. In the meantime, I did say stick a pin in it. So, you know, while we were talking about the mycelial network, you know, which is the root work and the spore communications network that mushrooms and fungi have, how many of you have been watching, like, Discovery, you know, that new Star Trek series? And they are traveling along a mycelial network to the stars, which is the new way of traveling FTL, faster than light. Yeah, because remember back in the old, what would I call it? I call it Star Trek Prime, you know, the first one. It was warp speed. That was fast, you know, and it was faster than light. Okay, and it was warp speed all the way through Jean-Luc and oh gosh, I forgot the black guy's name. It'll come to me again because he's a classically trained actor, and it'll come to me in a moment. Still, warp speed, although Deep Space Nine didn't really go anywhere. And then you have Discovery. Now, I think it's a little far-fetched that we have a fungi network in space, but who am I? We're only discovering that there are other elements in quote-unquote space, like dark matter, and what dark matter is composed of, and that dark matter has components, and that we still don't have the intellect to even grasp what dark matter fully is. So, who am I to say that there's no mycelial network in space? But I digress, and I need to get back to my callers. So, good morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Celeste. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So I was just thinking that young people, children, especially under the age of 6, have a more natural ability to connect with the vibrations of nature and plants and animals because their heart is generally open at that time, and their ego is not quite as developed as when they get older. And I just wanted to say a personal experience that I had in, it was a long time ago, it was actually 1978, and I was only 4 years old, but I was with my father, and we were leaving my grandmother's house, and it was dark outside, and there was a small tree in my grandparents' yard. And this tree was having difficulties. It was sort of dying. I mean, it was partly brown if you saw it in the daylight. But as we saw it that evening, it was dark outside, and we came outside, we actually saw what I consider to be the aura of the tree. And it was a bright yellow, almost like a flame that was emitting from the tree. And also the tree gave out a psychic scream that my father and I could hear and see the bright light from the tree, as if the tree was suffering. And I started crying instantly because I was scared by it as a child. But my grandmother was there, and she didn't see it the same way we saw it. Mm-hmm. And she had said to us, "He must think it's a little man." And so I'll never forget that. And my father, to this day, he's in his 70s, he remembers it as well. So I had this deep connection at that time. I don't know if I was a child and my heart was open or something, but anyway, anyhow, the tree communicated to us, and I guess that's my experience. And what do you think about that?
Okay, I'm laughing because I can relate. Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to approach this. Kids can see things because they have not been programmed not to see them. And they're open, like you just said, because their egos are not as developed. And so they take the world a lot of times as it presents itself. You're not unusual in that ability to feel those vibrations. And I'm going to say something that may sound corny, but it's true. I can feel plant vibrations. I attribute it sometimes to the fact that I have Asperger's, you know, and I feel them. And people laugh at me, but then they turn around and ask me to come take care of their plants because I can grow things. And okay. So, you know, I feel vibrations sometimes, and that's what saves me from being a blithering idiot behind my Asperger's once I started kind of figuring out what the balance was. So I think you're on to something. I can't speak to the tree's aura color or whatever, but plants will tell you when they're not feeling well, and they don't communicate with words. They communicate with vibrational energy, and you get sensations, you get impressions. Like, I remember passing by this storefront one time, and as I walked by it, I heard what somebody might call a scream, and I had an acute feeling of disease. I thought, what the heck is this? What's making me uneasy? I went and I poked in there, and it was a bunch of plants out in the place. The building was locked up because I guess the building got seized from, you know, the business owner, and those plants were in there, and they were screaming. They needed water. Yeah. They didn't understand what was going on, and it freaked me out. And I was in my 20s, and and it gave me such a deep sense of dis-ease, discomfort. I was thoroughly freaked out because, you know, your first reaction when you hear that kind of cry for help is to do something. It hits you on a primal level. And, you know, and so when you said that, it's like, no, I can relate, you know. I mean, I know exactly what it was, but I can relate because when I forget about my plans, they will tell me, you know, water. So,
well,
yeah.
As an adult, I have studied a little bit of meditation and practice some of this. I feel that after practicing some meditation, my heart is more open. I feel more connected to the natural, frequency that all life emits.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can call it the mycelium connection, but I believe it's really your heart is the leader, and your brain can distract you. And I guess that's about all I've got to say for today.
Well, thanks, Jay, for calling, and thanks for a moment of us connecting, you know, via our ability to fill plants. That's cool.
Well, I'm sending out the good vibes to all the people in the world, so I hope
all
everyone
right.
enjoys their day. Thank you.
Thank you. You know I have a different faith basis than a lot of folks, you know, coming from a Christian perspective, but God created the trees first from my perspective, and they are imbued with a certain kind of wisdom. And I think people of lots of cultures have felt that energy from trees and don't know sometimes how to express it other than just wanting to walk in the forest. Other people understand that, you know, again, another element from Christian scripture is that, you know, God says, you know, everything talks, you know, he talks to the rocks. He says that even the rocks will praise me. And so when you think about that in terms that break down to the everyday, that means just like Jay was saying, everything talks. It's just whether we want to listen. And if you want to listen, then you will hear it. And as for a universal vibration, well, how many of you have heard of this thing called the Schumann resonance? Okay, everything has a frequency that it vibrates at. And the Schumann resonance, or the Schumann frequency, and that's spelled S-C-H, UMANN is important because it is the vibrational value. It's the frequency that the Earth has. And you've heard of space song or song of the planets or what have you. Everything sings. Everything. It's just a matter of, can we hear it? Do we want to hear it? What are we going to do with that knowledge that will be imparted to us? Let me go to my next caller. That's Joan. Good morning.
Good morning. I just love this show. I thank you so much for doing this, and this is absolutely a fascinating topic. You might be interested in a book by Temple Grandin.
Oh, I love her. Yes.
Animals in Translation, and she has a wonderful chapter on animal communication.
Yes.
And
well, can you tell people who Temple Grandin is? Not everybody might be privy like we are.
Temple Grandin is a an author who has, she's on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
And one of her things is that she works with animals, and she's particularly interested in cows, and she's interested in the cattle that are used for food and how they suffer when they're processed. And her book, she's gone a lot into, she's now a consultant with a lot of these fast food companies for how they should be treating their animals.
Yes.
So that at least if they have to be killed, they won't suffer horribly. Anyway, she relates to what animals feel. And I wanted to say for myself that we're all made of vibration. We are matter and we vibrate. And to think that we're different from everything else is extremely, an extreme form of hubris. And this, yes, business of our building machines that we can talk to and so on is like looking in the mirror and going back and forth. It's narcissism. So anyway, years ago, I was studying with a woman named Penelope Smith, and I took a class in animal communication. And there were people who brought their animals. I didn't bring an animal, but people had dogs and cats and birds and snakes and rabbits and all kinds of animals. And at one point, everyone was sitting around this huge table. And, you know, you would think that the dogs would be snapping at the cats and the birds would be freaking out. But everyone was really listening and in tune and paying attention. And it was silent. Mm-hmm. And everybody, including all the animals, were just sitting there focused on this lesson that she was giving, which was that you get into the mind space where you can feel and you can she was trying to get people to understand this on a psychic level, and not everybody can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But her main point was that the reason people can't do this, and maybe little kids can, is we assume that we're superior to them. And as long as you're listening to someone with the attitude that you're superior and they're inferior, there's no connection there. There's no way you can make a connection. So the first step in that is just to drop it. You're faced with a being, and the being maybe loves you if it's your dog, and the dog wants you to communicate with the dog. The dog, you know, has messages for you. And I certainly could feel that from my cat. Although I wasn't always in tune enough to understand. But the messages, when they come, the cat's not going to speak English, and the cat's
That's
not
right.
going to have a communication with you about what the stock market is doing. But if you kind of get in there and ask the cat how they're feeling and so on, and what the cat wants and so on and so forth, you pick up messages. But the messages might be in the form of an image that comes to your mind. It might be the cat is giving you some body language. There are a lot of ways that everything communicates. And to think that, you know, if you're a French person, the cat is going to suddenly start speaking French, or that you can teach the cat to speak French, and that's communication. It's like crazy. You know, these stories about people who try to teach dolphins to talk. It's like, why don't you learn how the dolphin communicates? And if we are so superior and knowledgeable, we should be able to learn their language.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because whales talk, and we are learning through whale song that they communicate on a level that would actually blow our minds. When a whale sends out that signal, that song, that noise, it is like sonar, and those waves actually penetrate your body. So when they meet each other, they don't have to ask, how are you feeling? Because when those waves pass through someone or the other whale, and they bounce back, that whale can probably sense, just like a, what do you call those things? What is it? The ultrasound. Like an ultrasound, it can tell what's going on in that other whale's body, because it gives off a certain frequency. And we're starting to figure that out with animals, animals that can smell cancer, you know, for example. Everything talks. We just don't know how to listen to it.
Everything talks. Meanwhile, we're doing things like setting up these giant sonar stations in the ocean for military purposes and wondering why there's dead whales washing up on the beach.
Yes.
We're playing around with stuff. We have no idea what we're doing. And meanwhile, everything is trying to teach us. And I had a very good friend who, she died not too long ago, who was communicating with the trees. Mm-hmm. And she was for real, although a lot of people would laugh. People laughed at her. But she was saying that the trees are suffering and that they want to communicate with us and tell us that we're messing things up, not just for us, but for everybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a great conversation. Anyway, Temple Grandin's book goes on to talk about various things. You know, the birds have been singing for a long time, and musicians have been learning from them.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells a story about a parrot that this scientist had, and the scientist was teaching the parrot different words and different letters of the alphabet. And at one point, she wanted the parrot to demonstrate to some other scientists. So she told the parrot, you know, participate in our experiment and I'll give you a nut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the parrot was answering these questions, you know, doing certain things. And after a while, the parrot was getting very frustrated. And she had taught the parrot the alphabet. Now, this is a true story. The parrot was getting more and more frustrated because he wasn't getting the nut that he was promised.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, the parrot just said, "Want nut, N-U-T." And she, you know, the scientist realized that the parrot somehow had learned how to spell. So it wasn't just imitating words.
That's right. It's communication.
Not like it had a full... It didn't have a full human vocabulary and wasn't thinking like a human, but what she had taught it, the parrot had learned.
It understood. Yeah, it comprehended.
Right. It understood what was being, and also had a point of view of his own, right?
Well,
like, hey,
yes.
You promised me a nut, and where is it?
Yeah, that's a transaction there, and I didn't get my part.
right. And this, people can read about this in Animals in Translation. It's very good. But I want to thank you so much for bringing up this subject, because as human beings, we're heading down such a silly, dangerous path.
That's so true.
And then we apply it to each other, right? Like certain human beings are better than other human beings. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. It's crazy. I really think it's a form of insanity.
And well, that it is. Back. Well, I have to get to my next caller, but it was so good
thank
to talk
you
to
so
you.
Much.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Yeah,
Bye-bye. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. Don't forget to stop by our website or our tech site and help us get that end of the year goal in. And, you know, just explain a little bit. Most nonprofits have a giving season, you know, in the spring, in the fall, and at the end of the year. Typically for KBOO, the spring and the fall, we focus on getting new members. Many hands make light the work and make KBOO strong. At the end of the year, that's generally because people contribute to their causes, and they are getting that year-end donation, and so we focus on that as well. And then during the summer and during the winter, we try to have activities or events or music or programming to make it fun, to say thank you, and still to bring in new listeners and new members. So stay tuned, you know, all year round. Help us as we have those financial events going on, and participate. And if you recall, we had new t-shirts, for example, for our March Madness. You know, we had heavy metal, March Metal Madness. And then we had in the summer the blues concerts. We have t-shirts for that, and they're cool. So go check out our t-shirts too. I want to thank again Regina H. and Ed G. for supporting us, and you can too. KBOO.FM/give or text KBOO to 44321. And I'll go to my next caller. Robbie. Good morning, Robbie. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, good morning. I'll make this quick. Absolutely fascinating show. I love all the stuff you're talking about. I'll try to make it quick. You know, I was going to say there's, and on another note, you know, people trying to make dogs talk. I do believe that huskies will be the first dogs that can speak English. I think that's, have you
yep.
seen? I mean,
I've seen a lot of the talking huskies. I've seen other dogs that weren't. I used to have a Samoyed. And some people call them Samoyeds or Samoids.
Oh.
And it's a form of husky, Russian husky. This dog could articulate, not just make the sounds, but articulate. And she came close to talking sometimes. And she was vocal. As a matter of fact, my friend would not go to bed sometimes, and Brandy would come out and tell her, it's time for us to go to bed. You have to leave. And I would know that's what she was saying, not because she said words, but I would just, it was, you know how you can tell non-communicative, non-verbal communication. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So huskies and Siamese cats, they'll be the first ones.
They're the smartest, that's for sure. So I was going to keep bringing up, you were talking about dark matter too for a while, and there's this very fascinating TED Talk where this biologist starts to go into the possibility that dark matter could actually potentially harbor life. Like there could be dark matter beings, and this is what's creating, you know, it could unroll a whole new understanding of, you know, medicinal properties. Why are we getting affected by Alzheimer's, which ironically dogs can smell, or cancer, which they can smell.
Yes.
You know, but the dark matter beings in that other world. I also wanted to touch on the symbiotic relationships. It's so unfortunate that we're taught at a very young age that everything's competitive based, that nature is survival of the fittest, and that the trees are out fighting each other for survival. When in reality, it's the symbiotic relationship which is allowing them all to thrive. Let's see. Oh, there's so many good topics that were brought up, but I just wanted to. Oh, Ishmael. I wanted to say a lot of this reminds me of Ishmael. The book by Daniel Quinn. I don't know if you had heard of that. That's an interesting read if anybody finds it. But lastly, I'll mention that I think the that communication part is very, very important. And when I did, I kind of got mentored by people who, you know, take plant medicine like ayahuasca and peyote, mm-hmm. Grandfather Peyote. And that stuff, what it does is it allows communication. It breaks walls of communicational barriers, which you can now feel. And one of my favorite quotes is, if we could all read each other's minds, there would be no lies.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm pretty sure whales don't lie to each other.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'll just say,
well, I got one more person on, and I only got like a minute. Oh, so I want to we got time for, I think, one more call. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Your show's great. So real quick, I heard you touching on AI, and AI is the reason.
Hello? Hello? Oh, we lost you, Jonathan. Wait.
Hello?
Okay, good. You're back.
This is a new John.
Hello? Is this Jonathan?
This is John.
I guess we lost Jonathan. I'm sorry.
I got a really quick story about an African gray parrot that passed away, but one day there was a loud crash, and we ran in there. What happened, Bailey? And Bailey responded by going, like a bomb dropping,
mm-hmm.
and he'd never done that before or since. Second chance bird, this woman taught him all this stuff, and she passed away. he pulled all his feathers out, but he remembered everything she taught him.
Ah, he was stressed because they will pull feathers when they're distressed, but I'm glad he were, sounds like he had a rich life after all of that.
Yeah, we had him about 6 years. He was
okay.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you for the story.
Yeah, there was more, but I only have time for that one.
Okay.
Have a great
call
day.
Call earlier next time, but thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
You know, everything talks, and I started out the show mentioning we're going to go home, some of us, to see our families, or maybe we'll communicate virtually, or maybe we'll see them but not communicate at all because we have issues. You know, it's happened. I've experienced it, so, you know, I know it's a human condition. But think about broadening your approach to communication and recognizing that the world is speaking to you and that we should listen to not only the world and not only ourselves but each other. Maybe this will be a richer year in, and maybe if we can listen, we can learn. We'll see. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for your calls. It's been wonderful. Cecil and I will be back in January. I believe January 10th is our first show. And before I go, however, I want to thank my engineer, Ray, for wonderful support. Sonia and Ty in the past, who have been great at supporting us through the COVID. And thank our donors.
You are listening to KBOO
for KBOO.
KBOO's end of the year drive is happening right now. And we invite you to become a member today by going to kboo.fm/give. Or by texting KBOO to 44321. Contribute now through December 31st, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 thanks to the generous support of the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Join the KBOO family today at kboo.fm/give.